was beautiful worship. Please turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. Your pew Bibles are all NIV, so. So on the west side of our sanctuary out here outside, on the south-facing corner, there's this it's a concrete stone with an inscription on it. Does anybody know what it says? It has a date on it. Third Presbyterian Church, 1890. For more than 130 years, this has been a mission church and a beacon for the gospel on this north end of town. We used to be on Garfield in a different building, and then we came here, changed our name. But we held true to our Reformed roots. That's our heritage. It's easy to forget this heritage sometimes. We forget that it's not about a building. It's about a living building, a living temple of God that he dwells in. Like the Gentile Christians in our passage today, our church is made of Christians who were once far removed from God, but have been brought near by Jesus Christ himself. In him, we have been built into a living temple of God. As the living temple of God, we enjoy all the privileges that are in Scripture that are promised to us. That's all about covenants that we're going to talk about for the next several weeks. The covenants of Scripture are precious promises. Anybody ever seen those precious promises books? You know, the little, I got it when I graduated high school. I don't know if people still do that. We got our youth group, we all got a copy of this precious promises. But I tell you, when I've been in my worst places, that book has gotten me out of a lot of hurt. Our expectation or hope for eternal life. No matter what storms of life pound against you, God's covenants are a firm foundation for your feet. With that said, please stand for the reading of God's word. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and are called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision. This is Gentiles and Jews. That done in the body by the hands of men. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. And in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. Through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. We're so thankful this morning for the word. So this passage signals three important truths that I want to talk about for a little bit this morning that apply to all people and not just the Gentile Christians in Ephesus. We're very close to where you all live, I think. We were all born into this world completely separated from God. Okay, this can't be overstated. It doesn't matter whether a person grew up in church or not, or whether they heard of God or not. The size of this separation was something we could never cross on our own. We were separated from anything having to do with God. We had no hope and no God. We were all born in sin without him, meaning we had no hope for forgiveness or redemption. We were born ready to die and born condemned to hell. How did this happen? A sin happened because of the violation of a covenant. The very first covenant in Scripture was the Adamic covenant. We'll get to that more in the coming weeks. God set Adam and Eve in a garden with the role of managing his creation, eating the fruit of any tree they wanted to, with the sole exception of one, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So this covenant was based on works. However, there was huge blessings. So long as they didn't touch that one tree, they got to live forever. They got to live for eternity. But like any other child who's been on doing the one thing the parent tells them not to do, they went and ate that fruit, the forbidden fruit. And with that act, passed on sin to all of us. If this strikes any of you as unfair or unreasonable, let me explain it to you this way. If our president decides to send us to war, he doesn't go to 300 some odd million people and ask for their concurrence. We just go to war. And you all are at war, same as he is. As human beings, as members of the human race, began in Adam and Eve, we inherited their sin debt for the same reason. They were our progenitors. We take on all their characteristics. That includes both the sin debt and the propensity to sin. In other words, we inherited that sin debt from them, and we go barreling into sin our own selves. We add to the sin we inherited our own sin. That's how we were born completely separated from God. Although like Adam and Eve, we were made in the image of God, we were not born united in Him. There was a big, huge barrier. Something I think about was in Jerusalem. If you go to Jerusalem today to the Kotel, the Wailing Wall, the Western Wall, there is a wall right there in the middle. But it's for the women on one side and the men on the other side. That's the wall that's there right now, but it makes me think of that. The second important truth of this passage refers to how that wall was demolished, how we were brought into union with Christ. From verse 13 all the way to verse 18, we see how God brought us back into our original standing with God. If you have received Christ as Savior and Lord, you have union with Christ right now. You are in Him right now. You are seated with Him in the heavenly realms. Church, that means that you are already in heaven with Him right now. Don't let this world, don't let the physical keep you from believing that central truth. There's only one heartbeat separating you from glory. There's only one breath separating you from glory. So we're already there. Jesus Himself is our peace. And not only that, but He made peace with God on our behalf. He's our new progenitor. We are in Him. We used to be in Adam. Now we are in Jesus. It's important to understand that. Before we became Christians, fully alienated from God, without even a thought that we were separated from God, Jesus died on the cross for our sin. And He rose again. The effect of this death was a covering of our sin. If you recall back in Genesis chapter 3, what did God do for Adam and Eve? After proclaiming the first prophetic announcement about Jesus, and who did God make that prophecy to? The very first prophecy in Scripture is that the seed of woman would crush the head of the serpent, and the serpent would bruise the heel of the seed of woman. Who did God make that promise to? Anybody know? Was it Adam and Eve? It was the serpent. God spoke that to the serpent. He said, "You are not going to win. You thought you won. You thought you crushed my world plan, but you did it. I had this plan all along. Jesus is the lamb slain from before the foundation of the universe. Okay, we are not left without hope. But just like God provided us, church, this is making me excited, and I've got this in my notes later on, but I'm going to give you kind of a heads up. So God had to kill an animal. He had to kill something to provide a cover, a suitable cover for Adam and Eve so that He could look at them. It took blood. It took a sacrifice. That's pointing at Jesus when He would go to the cross. Jesus died on the cross for our sin, which became a covering for our sin, just like He did for Adam and Eve. When they realized that, see, what Adam and Eve did, when they realized that they were naked, they went and found fig leaves. In other words, they tried to cover themselves. They tried to approach God on their in their own way. Right? They found these leaves, and they thought that that was good enough. They tried to fix their own nakedness through their own means, which cost them nothing. It didn't cost them anything to take leaves off of a fig tree. What was actually required was a penalty for sin. The innocent had to die for the sin of Adam and Eve. Again, this signals the cross. Jesus himself died on the cross so our sin would be covered. Because of the resurrection, Christ's blood eternally covers our sin. When we receive Christ in faith, we become united in him. We are now Christians. We are now a new humanity with Jesus Christ as our federal head. We are now in him. Unified in Christ, who is unified with God the Father, we are now unified with God the Father also. The barrier between us and God was torn in two, just like the veil in the temple, which had permanently separated God from his own people, was split in two. The barrier between us and God is no longer. The third truth in this passage is that since we are unified in him, again, we are a new humanity. Along with all of God's people, throughout time, we were cemented together as living stones. Living stones of a temple, with Christ as our cornerstone. It is on Jesus the whole temple of God is founded upon, and it's aligned with. It's the name that we took as a living temple. It's our heritage, just like that cornerstone out there. Although the name is different, it's still our heritage for so long, for 130 years. Think of the things that's happened in this country in all that time. All the unrest, all the changes, all the things that happened. But God has still caused this church to be a beacon of light in this community. As a living temple of God, we are safe in him, eternally secure, no matter what is thrown at us. The problem is that Christians don't always feel eternally secure in Christ. Right? We don't feel that way. We don't feel secure. We don't feel secure when we look at the news. We don't feel secure when we look at social media. We don't feel secure when we see the COVID numbers. We don't feel secure when the president does this or that, or when our governor does this or that, or when our mayor does this or that, or any other number of people. Our salvation, church, is not based on what social media says. Our salvation is not based on what comes out of on cable news. It's based on Scripture. It's based on the inerrant truth of God's Word. And we have to live that way, or else we're frauds. We're a bunch of religious people that go to church on Sunday. That's all we are. If we don't believe that the Bible is true, if we don't really believe that there is a heaven waiting for us, that there's a God, that we're already rising up into his presence. That's what the Scripture says. Again, talking about that Western Wall, I love going there. It's my favorite place besides church on earth. The last time I went, the Lord just kind of got me up. It was 5:30 in the morning, and I felt like I just glided to that place and just sat there before the Lord. It was awesome. But it's made of these blocks, these huge limestone blocks that tower up into the air and are sunk deep into the ground. And they're tightly stacked on each other. And the only thing that fits in between them are these little prayers. People put little prayers. Church, the only thing separating you from each other should not be your social standing, but it should be prayer. The only thing that's between us at any given time should be prayer. We come together and pray with each other. We pray for each other. We pray for our situations. We pray to a God who has the power, will, and authority to work in your life, to work in the life of those closest to you. Just like that centurion that we talked about several weeks ago. The gold standard of our faith. Do you believe that? The only thing that should ever separate a child of God from another child of God is prayer. Coming together in prayer. We are set perfectly by God. living stones that can never be pulled down. How did we come to even know about Jesus and become part of this temple? Somebody taught us the gospel. Maybe it was one of the several Sunday school, children's church, VBS teachers down the road. I'm looking at several Sunday school teachers right now that have impacted lives. Maybe it was a seemingly random event where someone just walked up to you and shared the gospel, which is how I received Jesus. The gospel message is that which is preached by the apostles and prophets that Paul is talking about, that foundation, that teaching. It's really Jesus, his word, that they're preaching. However we became believers, we obeyed the word that was preached to us, becoming living stones tightly fit together in Jesus. God's word, when put into practice, becomes a sure foundation, fit for all of life's storms. Jesus said in a certain place, Matthew 7, if we have his word and we put it into practice, it's like building our house on a rock. The rains come, the winds come, but it doesn't blow that house down. Think about Hurricane Ida coming through New Orleans and all the way up into New York and all the damage that's happened. That's a good example of what I'm talking about. Life is like that. Depression hits people like that. Our life situations hit us just like those storms. Jesus said, if you have my words and you do not put them into practice, it's like you built your house on the sand. And the winds came and the rains came and the house was demolished because it was not built on the rock. What's the common denominator, church? The winds and the rain. Bad stuff is going to happen. Bad stuff is going to happen in our lives. The storms are going to come. Okay? It's not about climate change. It's just about life. Life happens. Okay? Storms come. Winds come. But the problem is that if we have not built our house on the rock, if we have not taken his word and actually lived by it, when those things come against us, it crushes us. It destroys us. There's a couple different ways Christians go wrong. Either they don't build their house on the rock, or they have the rock and they build with shoddy materials. I've talked about that before. Either way, it's bad. Okay, the idea is to live in accordance with the scripture. Trials of life happen to all Christians, Christians and non-Christians. But if we are united in him, he's able to keep us from falling. He's able to present us faultless before him. But what happens again when we feel we're not like a living temple of God? It's easy to look around, especially in the American church. It's easy to look around here in Dubuque and see that churches are being turned into museums. Churches are being turned into convention centers. Churches are being turned into tourist traps or something. Here in Dubuque. Yes, sir. Right. I'll have to talk about that later. But that's a good point that you made, absolutely. But the point that I'm trying to make is that these churches are closing down because they don't believe. Because they don't believe in the truth of God's word and they don't live it out. Okay? And church, even though that block out there says 1890 and we've been preaching the gospel for 130 some odd years, don't get this twisted. We could lose that fire in a moment. When Jesus was in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks and he was talking to churches that were in danger of losing their flame, or losing their witness, losing their place in his redemptive plan. Not that the people themselves could lose their salvation, but the churches could lose their witness where it was most critical. Not too far from Turkey, Afghanistan, right? We've had Christians die recently that were destroyed by the Taliban. Anything could happen. But if we're prayed up, if we are in his word, if we're prayed up, then God, we are on a firm foundation. But if we do feel like, if we do feel as if God is away from us, that God's far separated from us, that he's separated from our situation, the first thing we should do, and this is our application piece, what I want you to take home, is that we are united in Jesus. He is our cornerstone. In the modern times, it's the name of the building, who built it. It's what you see on the letterhead. You know, it has the year, maybe the people who built it. And even though that can change, our name has changed, the heritage of the church doesn't change. God is still in the business of preserving his church. When we forget that we belong to God, we simply need to look back at our cornerstone and see what we're about. If you forget, look at the cornerstone. We are a Presbyterian church. We are a Reformed church. We believe in the Bible. We believe in the inerrant word of God. We believe that we are eternally secure in God. If we have been saved, if we have received in Jesus, there is nothing that can be done to separate us from the love of God. And the data ought to tell you something. Church, at the end of the day, we are part of a heritage. We owe it to the people that have gone before us to keep preaching the gospel, to keep being a mission church. Brings me to my second point. When we feel, first of all, we should never live on our feelings. Feelings change all the time. But if we feel like God has abandoned us, we should remember that we were once completely separated from the love of God, and no longer. We have been brought near to God through Jesus. When Jesus said that many would come from the east to the west and sit down with the Jewish patriarchs, you know who he was thinking about? Me and you all. He was thinking about us. He was thinking about us on the cross. He was thinking about us when he was being whipped by the Romans. He was thinking about us. God saw us lost in our sin and knew we were completely unaware of it. We were unaware that we were eternally damned. We were unaware that we were going straight to hell. But his Spirit woke us up to our sin and to our need for a Savior. To those of us who have received Jesus by faith, we are made children of God, heirs and joint heirs with Christ, Romans 8:17. We are no longer alienated from him, separated from him, even if our circumstances make it feel like God has forgotten us. Don't ever let your circumstances eclipse God in your eyes. What we have in God is everything, and it should become big. It should become magnified in your life. Does everybody understand that? Do you know? Maybe we should preach on this sometimes, how to magnify the Lord, how to make the Lord bigger in your life than your problems. That's something you can do. That's something you're able to do. My last point, we're about to close, is that when we feel like God isn't there, we should remember that we are a living temple. As his temple has already been lifted up in his presence, we are being lifted up in his presence. Verse 21 says, in him the whole building, talking about all Christians existing as one living temple, is joined together and rises to become a temple of the Lord. Look at these bricks right here. There's hardly anything separating these bricks. That's how we're supposed to be. We are like these stones. These living stones fit together. God didn't look at us and say, I'm gonna put all my Republicans together. I'm going to put all my Democrats together. I'm going to put all my Fox News people together. I'm going to put all my CNN people together. And everything's going to be fine. No, he didn't think about that at all. He says, I'm going to put these guys together and these gals together. I'm going to put everybody together. And my Spirit is going to keep them together. My Son is going to be the cornerstone, and that's how it's going to be. What do we take home? First, his promises are eternal, and that's why they're called the foundation. We put our faith in these promises in Jesus. And the reason we do this, this is kind of getting back to our faith, hope, and love, the three Christian graces in a storm-tossed world, right? We put our faith in his foundation, his promises. They are a sure foundation. Because we have an expectation for heaven. We have an expectation. We have a hope that was all brought about because of Jesus Christ and his blood. So with that, I'm going to open it up for our communion. And please continue on worshiping with us.